We're going to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, Matthew 26. And if you're willing and able, stand with us. We pay honor to God and His Word. Matthew 26, and look at verse 25. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." If you're underline or highlight, that's the first one. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment, than clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, the birds, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than the birds?" Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit, 13 inches into his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, the flowers, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Second time, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed, the necessities of life? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That is a precious promise, verse 33. 34, "Take therefore no thought," the third time, "for the morrow," for tomorrow, "for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Father, help us this morning to hear, understand, and apply the Scripture. For those, Lord, who are, Lord, adjacent to you, or they're close, they've not followed you yet, Lord. They've not asked you to forgive them of their sins and to change their lives. And Lord, they're interested, they're seeking. I pray that today, as they hear the description of you, the good Father, that it would help draw them to yourself, and that today they'd make that decision to follow you. And I pray for those of us who have followed you, Lord, but we have put more back on our plate than belongs there. And we are gripped with fear and concern and even that awful word, worry. I pray that today we'd be reminded of your teaching. And I pray you'd help us understand, Lord, that you are the good Father, and you know what we need. And I pray, Lord, we would trust you. So I pray that you'd help folks that are struggling, that are discouraged. I pray that you'd help us today, Lord, and not knowing what tomorrow brings. And Lord, that you have given us what we need for today. So help us. Help me as I preach. May you be honored and glorified in these moments. And I pray you'd be uplifted. I ask it in your Son's precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. We got your program there. If you're looking at your notes, you can kind of follow along. But I like doing this every now and then. And I just want to kind of poll over here. I'm going to go my right to your left, that kind of thing. What do you think? There's some things that people worry about. You can say what you worry about. But anyway, what's some things that people worry about? Anybody over here?
Money.
All right. Money has been taken. Money has been taken. All of you, your bingo card is now full there. Yeah. Money, finances, bills, any of those kind of things. That's it. Anything else over here? Anything else over here?
Health.
Yeah. Health. Healthy, you know, and so all of you that had that on yours, you get to scratch that out right about here. What do you think? Anything people worry about?
Family.
The older family gets, the less control you have. They can make more. They can do more things. Yeah, anybody? We say we believe it's going to be better with Jesus and all, but we're not interested in getting a busload of folks up right now. Those kind of things. Yeah, anybody else over here in the middle? Yeah, all right. What about here? Younger crowd here. What do you think people? Not you, because you're spiritual. You don't worry. But what about other people? What do they do?
Parents.
Yeah, you got a. Yeah, you know, you and Allison are gonna have the world's worst game of a rock paper scissors. You get mom. There you go. Anybody else? Yeah. Relationships. Okay. Yeah. Those kind of things. That made Samantha feel good. And all right. Anybody else over here? Anybody else? All right. So they got yours, all right? All right, here we go. Anything people worry about, or you worry about, or people should worry about? Yeah. Huh?
Food.
Well, not ever. All right. Food. What's that?
Future people
thing. Yeah. Nobody, I thought that would be really fast there. You know, other people, your interactions, what people think. Yeah. People worry about that. Yeah. Somebody else. Yeah. Yeah, we should be thinking about eternity. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. If heaven's real and hell's real and I'm going to spend forever somewhere, that ought to be somewhere in our noggin. That's right. Anybody else over here?
Future.
Huh? Future, yeah. What's going on in the future, yeah. Yeah, and I think the younger you are, that's one thing. I think the older you are, you're worried about the future for those coming behind you. And so that's a two-edged kind of sword there. We see, yeah. Anybody else? Matthew? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, being accepted, yeah. Very good, excellent. Yeah, and again, if you've got a instead of a little itty bitty U-Haul worth of baggage, you know, if you got the 17 footer, and then you got a little U-Haul behind you, you know, if you had to rent two pods, you know, full of all the stuff that you're carrying, you know, we're worried. Hey, what will people think when they find out about the real me and all? Now, for those of you who didn't have those concerns and you wrote those down, you went, you know, that's pretty good. I ought to worry about that. This was not a list for you to take home. This was just representative. And all of you that are on the edge already, I didn't mean to push you over the edge too much. But when we talk about this, isn't it interesting that this seems to be the human condition? The human condition that we are worried and concerned, and yet three times, if you're in Matthew 6, three times Jesus says, take no thought. Most of you, your Bible's got a little note there or something. Basically, what we would say, 2026, is do not worry, which sounds great, except we are what? We've got financial uncertainty. We have health concerns. We have family burdens. Nobody has checked with us about how the future is supposed to go. And if we're not careful, anxiety comes in, not as a visitor, but as a resident. It's like company sometimes. You know, company and fish, you know, the old joke goes, you know, after 3 days, fish and company, they got to go. My wife looked at me a while back. We had something going on. My wife said, we're going to put them in a hotel. I said, they're just going to stay a few days. And she said, see me in a few days. And a few days later, I went and looked at her and said, we need to put these people in a hotel. And so we kind of like, and when we get here, this is what it is. Let me give you a time out and a pastoral pause. I'm not talking about medical condition. I'm not talking about something that you've interacted and those kind of things. I'm talking about garden variety, day to day, doubt versus trust, worrying about things that you absolutely have no control about. I'm not talking about any of those things. I wouldn't talk about any of those things like I'm going to talk about that. So if that is yours, you're going to get some help from this. But understand, I'm not trying to simplify something that's probably a little more complicated with you. Nod your head if you heard the preacher there. All right. How can I do that? Well, I gave it to you in the title. Your Father knows what you need. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Now, every time I say this, I feel like I have to say this. If Dad wasn't all that, or Stepdad wasn't all that, or Mom's boyfriend, whoever was the father figure in your life, or if there were no father figures in your life, and a grandma stepped in and did all those kind of things. And the idea that you could trust a man when the men in your life have been untrustworthy, you hear from me, I am just as sorry as I can be. But if you'll extend to me a little bit of credit, I promise you that the Heavenly Father will never disappoint you. Amen. He will never let you down. And it is hard to see past that, because if the men in your life have done that, it is hard to give some credit and extend some credit, rather, to the loving Savior. But I promise you, His character is different than the character you've been involved with. And He loves you and cares for you. And He knows what you have need of. When I understand this then, I can be free from anxious control, and I can trust in His provision. I gave you some quotes there that'll maybe be a help to you. Worrying is caring so much about the concerns in this world that we lose perspective on life and lack trust in God. I am overwhelmed with this, and all of a sudden Jesus gets real small. A lot of you like to give out those little Jesus figurines, and it's a good icebreaker. And you can buy them in bags of 100 and 500, and a lot of you have given them to me. I've got them lined up like little soldiers in my office. And you say something like, you need a little Jesus. Now, I like it as an icebreaker, but I hate it as everything else, because it's terrible, terrible Bible and theology. You don't need a little Jesus. You need a lot of Jesus. And he's not a little guy. He's a great big overwhelming, handle everything, spoke the world into existence by the word of his mouth, John chapter 1. And so use it as an icebreaker, but don't do anything else with it. Because he is beyond what you could ask or think. Secondly, worry is the sin of distrusting the promise and the providence of God. Worry can be a medical duty. Again, I'm not going to keep qualifying things, but most of the time it's, this is bigger than he is. I can't give because I can't trust God to make the 90% work. Worry is the sin of distrusting. I can't do this. You know, I folks all the time, you know, I can't come to church because I got this other problem, but I'd like Jesus to help me. Well, you won't follow Jesus, but you want Jesus to bless your sin. Worry is the sin of distrusting. Corrie Ten Boom said it, and I've quoted her for years. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, as she came out of the concentration camps out of World War II. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of strength. Anybody felt that, by the way? Anybody been there? Anybody there now? So let me give you some things. Would you like some help in this area? Anybody in here like some help in that area? Few of you, three of you, four of you. The rest of you, if you got it figured out, you can go. But before you go, you pray for the rest of us who struggle sometimes in this area. Three of you started to get up, sit down, sinners. All right. Number one, and I just want to give them to you some positives. Number one, consider who your father is. Consider who your father is. God's not just your master. He's your father. He's not just your master, he's your father. He owns everything. He controls everything. He provides for his children. If he feeds the birds, he will not forget you. Consider him. He's not just your master, he's father. All right, there it is. He owns everything. He controls everything. He provides for his children. Somebody says, who owns the corner lot? And I tell them who it is. Says, what are they going to do with it? And I said, they're going to give it to us. They said, have they said that? I said, not yet. I said, I thought you said they own it. I said, but yeah, the Lord owns it before that guy owned it. And I said, I think we could use it. We'll call it the May Anderson Softball Park. And how many of you'd like to see May Anderson hit a home run? And we could do this thing. I'm sorry. Forgive me. The David Brown Softball Park. Forgive me. David's like, that's my thing. He's a soccer player. But yeah, we want to do these kind of things. God owns. When I realize that, and I know the owner. I know the owner. What you and I have need of, he has it all. I always like to remind people, God's not raising money when you and I give. He doesn't need your money. What he's trying to do is raise his children. You can trust him. He controls everything. There's nothing out of his control. Anybody besides me, this past week, I booked two appointments at the same time. I actually went to the trouble of putting them in there and had my Google Calendar say, you already have something scheduled there, and I overrode the warning and kept on going. And at some point that morning, I looked at it and said, how am I going to be 20 miles apart at the same time? And I thought, well, I'm big enough to be split in half. Maybe I could do that. And I'm having to call somebody and go, I'm sorry, I'll be a little late. How late are you going to be? About an hour. And why? Because I'm a moron. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know why I thought I could do X and Y at the same time. But here I am, and here we go. He controls everything. He provides for his children. Provides for his children. One of the things we had to do with ours early on is we'd have the call from the school teacher occasionally, or some other parent would say something, and one of our children would hear us at Walmart or Target or somewhere say, no, we can't buy that. We're not going to buy that now. And they got in their head that we were poor. And so they'd go individually to somebody in authority, and they'd say, yeah, we don't have money. We don't have money for this or money for that. And they'd call and say, are you guys struggling? I said, I don't know. What are you talking about? And they'd say this. And so we'd have to sit them down going, honey, we work on a budget. We're going to budget. And the Lego set wasn't in the budget. Doesn't mean we're not going to eat. And we appreciate you sharing with your teachers and all who have gotten us several bags of groceries. And but if it's all the same with you, we're doing fine. Just because we said no to getting you a set of whatever, or we didn't buy you the giant baby doll. Please quit telling people we have no money. It makes my heart hurt. This is what we want to do. Our kids laugh now. They've got their own money. And they go, Dad, I went somewhere the other day and I bought a soda. And I went, good for you. He said, I did it with my own money. I said, good for you. He said, you still drinking water? I am. I said, why? I said, I like water. He said, yeah, but when before we'd have to go somewhere and we couldn't get soda because it was extra. I said, that's right. That's right. But I buy soda now. I said, you waste your money if you want to. You're not wasting my money. And I said, when you tell that story, I told this to Allison, when you tell that, remember to emphasize the part that we went out to eat. Don't emphasize the part that we were too broke to buy soda. Emphasize the one thing. Quit making it look like your mom and dad, you know, these are the hand-me-downs that we got out of the dumpster behind the rescue mission. When you and I worry, we keep going, you know, it'd be nice if God wasn't broke. Be nice if God had control over everything but my health. When you and I worry, we're saying, I don't trust you. Remember who your Father is. Remember who your Father is. Anxiety grows when we forget who God is. Verse 25, remember, if He feeds the birds, He will not forget His children. Some of you, from the first things you did when you got a smartphone or your tablet, you downloaded some farming kind of game. And you figured out just how much work it was to keep everything alive on that stupid little game. You paid money for the thing to work automatically because you were having to check in 8 or 10 times a day. And all of a sudden the game became an addiction because you're like, I can't let my sheep die. I got to get the crops in. If God can take care of all that and it about drove you crazy on your phone, why would you worry about something that God has handled? He controls everything. Secondly, you still with me? Say amen. Consider the futility of worry. Look at verse 27 again. Which by taking thought can add one cubit, one set of inches to his stature? Why take you thought for your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and is tomorrow cast into the oven, it's used for fuel, will He not clothe you, O you of little faith? Wherefore, He says, take no thought what we shall eat or drink, wherewithal shall we clothe. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You act like unsafe people. That English term worry, the word we have worry from, is the idea of strangle or choke. That's what it does. You and I worry, man, it chokes us off from praise. When you and I worry, it chokes us off from so many kinds of things. Now, let me help you. At 55, there are things that bug me that didn't bug me in my 20s. And there are things in my 20s now that I wouldn't give 2 or 3 seconds to. My things and the things that concern me change. But the basics of life still get boiled down to necessity. It's just whatever I put in the necessity category. If 4 digits in the bank makes you relax, wonderful. If 5 digits in the bank makes you relax, if you need 6 digits in the bank to relax, and if you need 7 digits in the bank to relax, why did you not buy dinner last time? Choked us off. You've heard somebody do that, right? Gasping. When we do this, it causes us to forget. Causes us to forget. It doesn't just fail. It forgets God's past faithfulness. It forgets His present care. And Jesus says, hey, you act like the Gentiles. You live like people who don't know God. Worry screams. He's not who He says He is. Hear me out. I'm not talking about anxiety. I'm not talking about anything you and a doctor discuss. I'm talking about you distrust. I can't obey because I distrust. I can't serve because I distrust. I worry about things I don't have any control over. There's a difference between what I'm talking about and willful worry that refuses to trust God. God is compassionate. God is compassionate. There we go. Yeah. God is compassionate toward the struggling. But He lovingly calls His children out of that distrust. Why isn't it worth it? Because it doesn't change your future. It really distracts from God's provision. And it imitates unbelief. I like that way that hits it. You just act like lost people do. The only difference between you saying, I don't believe in the spaghetti monster upstairs, and, you know, I know I'm supposed to do that. I know I'm supposed to take everything to the Lord in prayer. I know I'm supposed to whatever. The only difference is you got a different label. You call Him by His name, they call Him by mockery. Neither one of you act like you believe it. It doesn't reflect. It doesn't change your future. It distracts from God. It imitates unbelief. So, there's a difference there. There's a difference between struggling and anxiety. And again, I'm not, for time's sake, not going to address any of that. My wife and I were talking the other day about something, and she said, this person is really embarrassed about this, and you know what I do? I said, just look at him and go. Nobody's mad with you. If you have a broke leg and you have to bow out of running a 5K, nobody's given that a second thought. Don't go because have this thing. Nope. There's a difference between that. There's a difference between surrendering to unbelief, unbelieving worry. I trust You. I will hold Your hand. I will walk with You, Lord. God meets the struggler, and I'm so thankful for that, but He calls us away from not trusting Him. He points to the birds. He says they don't farm, they don't store, they don't strategize. They wouldn't know the right amount of nitrogen to put in the soil if you sent them to Harvard. But your Heavenly Father takes care of them, and He says, you and I are better than the birds. You are not an accident. You are not forgotten. You are not overlooked. If this hits your ear wrong, I promise it is not because you have too much to worry about. It's because you have too little of a God. Worry doesn't work. It doesn't reflect faith. It strangles our faith. Strangles our faith. Number three, you still with me? Number three, give yourself to God's priority. All right, so the negative. And anybody, you know, stop doing something and that's all you want to do? Stop worrying. That's what happens to me when somebody tells me that. Doctor puts his hand on my shoulder and says, this is nothing to worry about. I went, thanks for that. Now I don't get to sleep tonight. Talking to him about, I said, I understand the next thing for me, if things reoccur and all this, and my blood work and all this, will be this. And I gave the term. He said, well, maybe. He said, but there's actually something in between that and this. And I went, oh, what new horror are you about to drop on me? And he said, no, it's not as bad as this. He said, but if you get this, you'll get that. I went, every now and then, you and I need to talk about your bedside manner. And he laughed and laughed and said, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And he said, don't worry about it. I went, commit to God's priority. Not doing the negative is tricky. Here's the positive. Here's what you should do. Pursue God's first. Let me help you. When you pursue Him first, He takes responsibility for your needs. How many of you would like to hand off some of the things to someone else who can handle it? How many of you think God can handle it? When you pursue Him first, He takes responsibility for your needs. So here's what He says. Seek first the kingdom of God. I get real nervous and says, I'm changing jobs, I'm moving, I'm doing all these kind of things. And they have never one time bowed their head and said, God, is this what You want me to do? I'm going to date this person. I'm going to marry this person. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Never considered what God wants. Some of the first words out of your mouth in the morning before you hit the bed ought to be, dear Lord, help me follow You today. Your kingdom. Number two, seek His righteousness. Don't ask God to bless your mess when you've got unconfessed sin and you like, Lord, in my lostness, in my sinfulness, I'd love for you to make everything right. Now, you need to get right with him. I used to work with teenagers. I used to remind them, I believe you've not grown an inch spiritually since the last time you told God no. You've not grown an inch spiritually since the last time you told God no. God said, forgive that person. You're stuck. God said, stuck. Seek his righteousness. Lord, help me please you today. Help my mouth please you today. My hands please you today. Lord, if somebody picked up my unlocked phone and started scrolling through, there's nothing on my phone I'd be embarrassed about. Seek first his righteousness. Trust him. Trust him. I think it's harder to trust God now for some folks, and they're a month ahead on their bills or 2 months ahead on their bills or whatever your financial planning is. You know, they got the fully funded emergency fund, you know, the Dave Ramsey idea. I think some folks, when they get that kind of stuff and they get kind of buffer, they don't pray about their daily needs anymore. You're just as dependent now as you were when you couldn't figure out how to make the ends meet at the end of the month. And your Father delights in taking care of you. You don't know what a day brings forth. Put God first in your decisions, in your priorities. Put God first in your pursuits to seek his kingdom. Lord, rule my life. Shape my life. Here's the promise. All these things will be added unto you. You can't get the end of verse 33 until you do the first part of verse 33. One writer said it like this. You take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. We had three cars at the time that were 20 years old, 20 plus years old. Does that make you nervous? No. God's going to take care of them just like he would if they were a year old. Our family's doing our very best to put him first. So I'm not going to worry about the mechanical contraptions out there. That's his job. I'll get them serviced. I'll put tires on them, keep brakes on them. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to. But the first line in our budget's not the mortgage. The first line in our budget's God's priorities. And I trust him. By the way, I trust him. I trust him if they catch on fire tomorrow, by the way. That's not braggadocio on my part. I've just lived long enough to know God's taking care of it. God took care of $940,000 worth of medical bills. I figure he can handle it. Forget all that. He forgave me of my sin. He gave me his righteousness. He spoke the world into existence. See, again, it's not my problems are real big. It's my God is too small. Your Father knows what you have need of. See, when I do this, then this is what happens. And God takes care of these things. When God is first place in your life, everything else finds its proper place. Everything else finds its proper place. Focus on today's obedience. Trust God with tomorrow's needs. Focus on God's obedience. And trust God with tomorrow's needs. Trust God with tomorrow's needs. Say, help me with this, preacher. Here you go. I've given you a couple of blanks there. What are you worrying about today that you've not surrendered to God? What are you worrying about today? I did this exercise. I didn't care for it. I like to think I got empty hands, but the truth of the matter is I keep trying to take stuff off God's plate. If you're here today and you're on the outside looking in, there's never been a time, place, point in your life where you said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from my sin. Here's what I want to encourage you today. He can be your Father for you leave today. The greatest need is not for your problems to be solved, not for your provision to be met, not for your worries to go away. Your greatest need is to come to him and him change your life. And the God who feeds the birds and clothes the lilies sent his son to die for your sins and to rise again. And the great need in your life can be met before you leave here this morning. All things can be made new. You don't have anything that's really wonderful. You can pray for somebody else. Truth of the matter is, problems, pressures, concerns should drive us into the arms of our Father. They do me. Say, what about tomorrow? He says that. Stop trying to live tomorrow today. You have what you need today. Trust your Father. Seek His kingdom. By the way, the more kingdom focused I am, the more my other stuff kind of gets in perspective. When I'm enraptured and wrapped up in me, then everything in my life gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.